Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. It's a blessing we serve the living God, the living and true God. And He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And He always speaks to us in our hearts. The words of the Lord are mighty, and He helps us to go forward and not backwards. His words are so powerful. Whenever they are in a receptive heart, they grow, and they do their purpose. The Word of God can only do its purpose in those who have a good heart, good soul. When their heart is good soul, receptive. Anybody that has a receptive heart to the Word of God, it's highly possible they'll get saved. Because when they hear the Word, they receive it. And they come to the Lord. And as we enter the kingdom of God, we are rejecting the world system. Just like the two trees in the garden, we receive the tree of life. Those who partake of the tree of life, they have a strong desire to reject the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I began to see things for what they are. This is faith, folks. Faith is the highest form of sincerity. Faith will release away the things of the world, and it will receive the Word of God. It will unclench itself from the world and hold on to the Word of God. And in every stage, we do the same thing. We receive His Word, we speak it, we obey it, and we grow. We receive His Word, we believe it, and we receive it. And then we speak it to change our circumstances, to change the facts on the ground, to change the facts in our body, to change the facts against our children as we intercede for them, and to pray blessings on people. We change the facts that are there. And then we receive the healing of God in our circumstances and in our body, and among our friends, and throughout the lives of our children. We receive the Word of God, and we go forward from glory to glory, and we ever increase doing God's Word. Everything the Lord has for us is available, and we access everything. We access the promises of God by our words that we speak and our actions that we live. And as we go forward, failure becomes a thing of the past. And, you know, when you're growing, and just like a student taking tests, and, you know, sometimes they fail tests. Sometimes the A student will fail tests, give the wrong answer, the wrong suggestion, and then they learn and regroup. It's no different. So don't feel so bad when you miss something and you gave it your best shot. You did your very best, you thought you were right, and it didn't work. Because you serve the living and true God, He's going to bless you for trying. I respect people that try to do right and then flat out fail, than people who tried, who did nothing, who didn't even try. Even if they lost everything, but they were trying to do the right thing. You know, I love people that try to do right. If you fail, just get up and, you know, just like the student, they gave the wrong answer. The class may laugh at them. The teacher may be surprised that they gave the wrong answer. But everybody knows that they have the wit to do this. And the teacher just The teacher deal with them according to how they need them to. If the student need them to be patient, the teacher will be patient. If the student need to be rebuked, then that good teacher will rebuke them. If the student needs them for, if they need that teacher just to look at them sideways, the teacher will do that and it'll work. So is the Holy Spirit knows what to do when we fail. He knows how to correct us in His love, in His wisdom. He knows how to challenge us. He knows how to speak a word that will get in our heart. Because He knows all about us. You know, I learned a lot from the Lord in dialoguing with Him. But through going in His presence and dialoguing with the Lord, just talking to Him and hearing Him out and asking Him my questions that I always wanted to know, I've learned many things about myself. I met myself in Him. I asked the Lord, why do I do things the way I do? I said, Lord, I run late a lot. Why do I run late? He said, you don't like to stop what you're doing. He knows us. See, in people's mind, if you're a preacher, if you're a pastor, if you're an apostle, they see you at your best all the time. If you're before the people speaking in a suit, they see you at your best behavior. Well, your family sees you as you are. They see your they see you putting forth effort. They see you working. They see you feel drowsy. They see you when you're frustrated. They see you just like God does. Well, God sees you better than they do because God knows your heart. And all the people you work with, they know how you act around work. They know how you behave yourself, how you carry yourself. And don't think for a moment they don't watch you. People that's in the world, they watch you, and people, even Christians, watch how you live. They look to see what you'll do, how you'll respond, whether you'll get mad or not. And people look to see if you'll lust after women, if you're a man, or whatever you do. They watch. They see things. They look for things. And, you know, following God, I learned many things about many people. And you even learn how to carry yourself. But when your eyes full of light, a lot of things, you know, a lot of people's tests, you're gonna pass it because you're looking to the Lord. And when people expect you to be negative or expect the worst, you do what's right. And it's amazing. It gets attention. It causes people to trust you. It causes people to respect you as a child of God. You know, titles have their place and purpose. The last broadcast I did, I talked about how a lot of people want their ministry to look successful. They expect certain things to happen. If God is with me, this will happen. That won't happen. I'll be at my best. In the arena of church, people like to be seen as wise and God-fearing, and faithful, and having faith, being more than a conqueror, being victorious. All these are wonderful things. And that's how they want their lives to be presented. And I understand that. But the last broadcast, we covered some things about how ministry really looked when people were really doing God's work. You know, Paul had to travel on foot and on horses. And in camel trains, whatever they took their supplies with, they made tents. I'm sure they were huge and they had to be towed. And it was, you know, I don't know how long it took for him to build a tent and then sell it, but he would do it. And then he'd use the money to go and preach. And see, you don't see Gentiles giving him tithe money or offerings. According to Philippians, only at Philippi they gave him some money and they blessed him because they loved him. And it didn't say that it was tithe. They just gave him, they blessed him. And I never seen one scripture where Gentiles paid tithes. It wasn't even mentioned. Now in Hebrews it talks about it. It is biblical. And it's a privilege more than a law. It blesses you. It secures your financial world. It helps. It does a part in playing to your success. And the church can run smoother if people do their part. It gives us a chance to do our part. We're working together to build the same ministry. Just like the ministry blesses your life, your contributions makes it possible to continue and bless the lives of other people in the present and in the future. And then people that were blessed in the past, even though their parents may have moved away, when the children get married, if they live in the same town, they'll come to that church. And then you have another generation of people that will be blessed by the ministry. So your tithes makes it possible. If everybody stopped paying tithes at the same time, then it would be hard for the church to continue. Because remember, churches pay bills, and their bills are commercial set. It's not like a home, you know, where the rates are lower in a house. All the everything, the air, the water, everything costs a lot of money in a business and in a church. So it's important to do our part. But God wants tithing to be from the heart, like worship, because it is worship. Now, what if worship was a law? You got to worship me. And then you were judged on how you worship. No, there's no scriptures that demand you to worship. David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He was talking to his soul. He was commanding his soul. And he suggested to the people, "Bless the Lord, all ye saints." Let me put it this way. I'm blessing the Lord. I say, "Bless the Lord, O saint. This is good. I'm enjoying the presence of the Lord." Now, what if I said, "Bless the Lord, y'all. Y'all start blessing the Lord right now. Y'all being sour. Y'all ain't blessing the Lord." No, that's not what God wants. He'd rather for people to do it because they love Him. You know, what if your boss said, "You make sure you take your wife some candy on Valentine's Day," and then you do it out of obedience, not because it's in your heart. Now, would you want somebody to give you some candy on? Would you want your spouse to give you some candy because somebody said they had to, or because they love you? Same thing with worship. The Lord is looking for those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I willingly, all that I do it because I love Him. I desire to pay tithes. I desire to worship God. I desire to study His Word. And I love to hear Him talk. Because He's telling me things to enable me to do greater things. Just like when I get blessed, you know, He's able to bless me in a greater way when I contribute and pay tithes and offerings and do things like that. It works. But people use those things to coerce people to give to their ministry. And they harp on it. I'm sorry, but they harp on it. But people who willingly do it, people who desire to do the right thing because it's right, that's what God is after. And that's why I don't waste airtime talking about trying to coerce people to give something just because I need it. I pray to the Lord and He'll do it one way or the other. And I don't mind working. So admit, Paul didn't mind building tents. If he would have made the money thing an issue, it would have, the people would have had something to, they would have just ridiculed him. Gentiles that didn't understand. See, he used wisdom. He used a lot of wisdom in how he did things. Some people you have to use wisdom if you really want to reach them. If you want to be the blessing that you can be, you have to use the wisdom of God. And I believe in hearing him out, speaking his word. And I pray for all of my needs so that I can continue and do all the things that's in God's heart. I don't trust people to do it because they love him, because people have been taught by religious perceptions. And that's why they're used to people coercing them. I don't want to do that. I want people, if they want to follow God, they'll follow God. Even though I may not be getting money I could get, I want it God's way. I want to do it the way God would give me to do it. There were times he had me to give people information so that they could donate to the ministry. And that information is on the broadcast, on the website. And it's on the contact page. But I want people to do what's in their heart because they love God. The Word of God is too important to misunderstand. And the principles of God, they work. They are a blessing. And the people of God need to grow up and just do what's necessary because they love God. If people have to keep telling you to do what you're supposed to do, something's wrong. But if you decide, I'm going to be mature and I'm going to do what I know I'm supposed to do, that's the church I want to see. These are the kind of people I want to meet. You know, being a grown man, what if somebody had to call you and say, hey, get up, it's time for you to go to work and take care of your family. And they have to knock on your door, so you'll come to the door and get up and do what you... People don't do that. What if your boss had to come and pick you up every day and wake you up and help you wash your face? And that doesn't make sense. So the doing the things of God, nobody should have to tell you to do what's necessary. It's a shame if somebody's got to give you a wake-up call every day. It's time to be responsible. So with the things of God, when we hear his word, we are able to make change throughout our lives. We are able to be as mature as we need to be. We are able to conquer anything. We are able to pull down strongholds. We are able to stop wars from happening. We're able to get people out of danger by our praying. We're able to involve God and change the circumstances that we know about and the facts on the ground where we are. We're able to change all the facts in our body because by Jesus' stripes we're healed. We've been given too much power to be foolish in our way, in everyday business. But sometimes people go after the glamour and they refuse to do the true work. You know, when you're called to the ministry, whatever God give you to do, I believe in doing it, making it happen. You know, Paul, he would make these tents, go and preach, and then he looked like he'd make some more tents because the people he preached to really didn't pay him. But when you're building, When you're building stage by stage, first of all, it's more important for people to get saved so that they don't be lost. Eventually, they'll learn and they'll grow and they'll start being contributors because for the right reasons, not because somebody coerced them. If the Lord is looking for a church that's without spot and wrinkle, and if he wants people to worship him in spirit and in truth, I believe that if people fall in love with God, they'll be that way. But I'm not going to waste my time and their time going out trying to coerce people into doing things that they should do. I present people with the facts so that for those who desire to know him, they can know him. Those who are putting forth the effort to learn and grow, I want you to know there's great rewards in doing so. God is with you. He's always with you to bless you and help you along the way. I don't believe in that a ministry has to stop because people don't contribute. But I believe in things going forward continually because it's biblical. I believe that if people will worship God in spirit and in truth, the right things will fall in place for the right reasons. Now, let's say people are coerced to give money, pay tithes, go to church, and do the things that they really should be doing, good things that they really should be doing. They're coerced. All right, they do those works, and they focus on the works, and they stop focusing on the Lord. And it'll work for a while, and it'll please the ministry leaders. It'll please the pastor and the congregation. It looks good on paper. But if it's not in spirit and in truth, if love is not the motive, it's not blessed. It's just works. They'll be rewarded for it somewhat, but it's not the same. Now, this is the other problem that comes from people doing things without having the right motive. And it's not in spirit and in truth. They're focusing on the works instead of the Lord who loves them. See, the Lord is foundational. I wouldn't want to receive a gift from someone, anybody, if their heart was not in it. This is the way I felt about everything for a very long time. I just didn't know how to say it right. The Lord has been looking for people who will love him in spirit and in truth. And he's always blessed people who did. He presented Solomon. He told Solomon to ask. He wanted to bless him. And he said, ask for whatever you ask me, I will do it for you. And he thought about it. He said, Lord, I don't know how to come in and go out before your people. He said, help me to do right by the people. That's what he was asking. That was his heart's cry. This was not just something of the mind. This was what he really wanted the most. And the Lord marveled at him. It kind of, it's the same way that Jesus, when he ran into the centurion, he said, Lord, my daughter's sick. Just speak the word. He said, she'll be healed. I'm a man of authority also. I tell one to go and he goes, another one to come and he comes. And he said, just speak the word. You don't have to go to my house. Just speak the word. She'll be healed. And he said, I have not found this much faith not in Israel. Well, when Solomon did, it's the same thing. That is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about spirit and in truth, heart to heart. And this is missing. I see it missing on many levels in the body of Christ. And the Lord always talked to me about the church and the condition of it. But when people love God from the heart, you don't have to tell them to pay tithes. You don't have to tell them to come to church, hear the word. These are the kind of people after service, they want to talk to the pastor a few more minutes and because they enjoy learning. Their heart is charged. And they want more of the Lord. These are the kind of people that carry the word wherever they go. They live it in life and they speak it and they operate by it. They change the facts on the ground, in their body. Whatever's wrong in life, they speak God's word and solve the problem because they love God from the heart. These are the kind of people that God will put first. Many that are first will be last. Many that are last will be first. People that live from the heart. That's what God has always been after. And all the business that means so much to men, if it's not from the heart, it means very little to God. But if you give your last because you were coerced and you really didn't want to, and you gave grudgingly, and you gave a lot, that was not faith. And it's impossible to please God without faith. But God is so merciful. And people in our world are so misunderstand so bad. He'll bless people anyway. Because he's good like that. He'll bless them in their greatest need. And he extends his hand. But people are not catching on like they can. Because they don't know the value of loving God from the heart for who he is. Because they love him because of what he's done and because of who he is. And they think because God has been represented by ministers who do coerce people into giving and going to church and things like that. And they're just trying to get you in heaven. They don't mean any harm. They see so many people come so close to having a stable relationship with God. They get blessed and then they go back to the world. And they don't want to see that thing happen to good people. In the back of their mind, they're saying, what could I have done different? How could I have done better? And they don't really know. So they continue what they know. And they continue with what they trust. And sometimes they ask the Lord. But their mind but they are so desperate. They're so desperate to do something. Their attention is on the problem and not God who can solve it. See, the Lord told me years ago that when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn the ways of the Father. Even if they go in prayer and ask the Lord to show them how to do things better, it's going to take revelation. They're going to have to come to a point where they're going to follow God and do it God's way. And they're going to have to yield to learn. People who don't yield don't learn. I'm sorry. People who don't yield to the Holy Spirit, they can't learn from it. You have to yield to it. You have to reconstruct your relationship to where you look to him for guidance and trust his words and not your way and not how you've been taught and not how brother so-and-so did it. Not even the best leader. You can't look at them anymore. They did good for their day. Remember, the Holy Spirit, every man of God, he's using him for the people they're reaching currently. And he calls them to say things for people who will listen in the future. But the world changes because their vision changes. And now the Lord needs people who will follow him from the heart. And only those who follow him from the heart can solve today's problems. Even in the past, they did good in our eyes, but in God's eyes, there was more to be done. But he could only go so far in their lives with what they knew and the way the culture was. But following God takes you beyond the culture, beyond the persuasion of the day, and even beyond the wisdom of the best of us. See, when you can follow God, it's all easy. When you live from the heart. Now, see, those who are blessed, those who pay tithes because they love God, to them it's worship. It's a privilege. It's a blessing. And people who don't give tithes, they don't bother. It doesn't bother them. about what people are not doing. They see the potential in people, whether they do good or not. And they're more concerned about the condition of their heart, because when that's right, everything else will fall in place. If your eye be single on the Lord and you're not distracted with things of this world, your whole body will be full of light. You're adapting to the type of God. You're adapting to the, you're already made in His image. You're made to operate exactly like He does. No different. We are designed by God to operate exactly like He does, and no different. So when you're looking at Him, you're going to learn concepts you can't learn from anybody else. No teaching, no institution. Even with the best teachers and institutions and churches and pastors and leaders and prophets and apostles, if you look to the Lord, you're going to learn. And then He'll use all His people to help you do it. But it'll be based by the Holy Spirit. And He'll show you when He's talking and when He's not. But when you live from the heart, everything elevates. Your understanding, it elevates. Your life elevates. Down to your prosperity, your natural prosperity. It'll prosper just like your soul prospers when you live from the heart. But so many are afraid to trust God because they're so distracted with their problems. You have to stop. When you're in His presence, forget about the problem. It's there. It's over there. You'll gain the wisdom and you'll solve it. You'll conquer it like David killed Goliath. You're going to win and not go under. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus is our Lord.